Well, in Spanish we say paz a vosotros. So in English is the peace be unto all of you. Before I begin, I want to sing a special. I enjoy singing to God, and I carry my guitar wherever I go. So I would like to sing a special for you this morning. The song I'm going to sing, the title of it is Simon Peter, but it's going to go along with the sermon of this morning, how we are Jesus' words and how we should be presenting these words to other folks. You know I do. Simon Peter, if you love me, pick up your cross and follow me. We are the living words of Jesus, living water from the well. We are the living words of Jesus, and from this well the sheep are fed. Cast your net upon the water, cast your net upon the sea, and leave your life upon the seaside. Pick up your cross and follow me. We are the living words of Jesus, living water from the well. We are the living words of Jesus, and from this well the sheep are fed. The peace of God is fought with many tears, some men with broken hearts submit. A peaceful bloom by a seed called faith, nurtured and cured by God's right hand. We are the living words of Jesus, living water from the well. We are the living words of Jesus, and from this well the sheep are fed. For the honor and glory of God. I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles again to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 10. For those of you who don't know me, I know some of you, especially Sister Moraida and Brother and Junior, known them for many years. We go way back. We're actually, my cousin is her cousin, so we've known them for a long time, and it's good to see them again. But for those of you who don't know me, my name is Ruben Davila. I'm the pastor of the Hayward Church of God Seventh Day. And a few months ago, Brother Larry had called me and asked me if I would be willing to be a representative of our district. The problem was that our church in Hayward was located in a different area. So I guess the board, the district board, moved our church to this area so I can run for that position. And since nobody else ran, I won by default. So I am your district representative. So that includes the Visalia Church, the Madera Church, the Stockton Church, the Lodi Church, the South Fellowship Church, the Elk Grove Church, and the Carmichael Church. So those are the churches in our area, and those are the churches I'll be representing. My wife, Miriam, she's here with me, so she's always helped me in this area. I want to thank God for her, and we're glad to be here today. So the Gospel of John, chapter 10, we begin our message, and we're going to read verse 10. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. The title of our message today is The Good Shepherd and the Thief That Kills. Jesus has spoken in these verses, telling us how he's that door where all of us can get in and have eternal life. But one of the things he also tells us here is he puts two extremes. On the one hand, he tells us that he gives us life. He came here to give us life, in a life in abundance. But then he goes to the other extreme and he talks about this thief that only kills and destroys. So we have the two extremes, one who kills and one who gives life. Jesus gives us life. And we all know that the devil destroys and the devil kills. So this morning I want to talk about how Jesus not only gives us life personally, but he gives the church life. Because I want to talk about your church and I want to talk about my church. One thing that we have in common is that 5 years ago we were looking for a church to buy. And we prayed and we fasted and we prayed, and God helped us buy this church in Hayward, a beautiful church. And it was, I can say, impossible to buy. Where no bank would lend us the money. Our church was too small. But through prayer, we saw God's work and we saw his grace. And we are going to celebrate 5 years in this church that God gave us. I was talking to Brother Mark, and he says, you've been here 2 years. The last time I came, you were renting a place. So you have your church too, and you have your story also. But let me tell you something, that when we got to our church, this beautiful church that God has given us, and we were all happy, a gentleman came by the church, and he looked like a homeless person. And I'm being nice to him, and we're talking, and even though he looked like a homeless person, he was a very intelligent man. He knows a lot about the Bible, and you could tell he was a good Christian. But he tells me that the church before us was not doing God's work. So God took it away from them and gave it to us. Because he would go to that church. And this is his exact words. Do you know that God gave you this church? He gave it to you because the other church was not doing his work. Because I would talk to them and they wouldn't do nothing to serve the community, nothing to spread the gospel, nothing to grow spiritually. So he tells me, so God took it away from them and gave it to you guys.
It was a beautiful church. It was 7 years old. And this church had lost it. They couldn't pay it. But yet, God gave it to us. So I took that seriously. And that's the same message I'm going to tell you. Is God gave you this church for a reason. He gave us our church for a reason. And I believe that there's three main reasons that we're going to talk about today that God has given us a church. Or three main reasons that we who make the church are here today or are part of this church in Visalia or are part of the church in Hayward. One is that God loves to be worshipped. We see in the Psalms that how the angels always worship God. So He created the angels so that they can worship Him. So He loves to be worshipped. So this church, our church, we have to make sure we always worship God. Number two is that God likes for His churches to be strong spiritually. So this church and my church in Hayward, we need to be strong spiritually. We need to be edified. We need to have edification in our church. And then the third thing I want to talk about today is that there are so many people that are dying that are not going to make it into the kingdom. There are so many lost souls out there in the world that need to hear the Word of God. So it is our responsibility as a church to make sure that somehow, some way, these folks are hearing the message. So it is up to our churches to establish ways to present that word to the people. Not only as a church, but this is something that we need to do individually. It's a personal responsibility that God has given every one of us. But let's talk about the church for now. We are here to worship God. We are here to defend the truth, to make ourselves stronger, so that people, when they come, they understand exactly what we believe in. And our truth, our authority is the Bible. And we believe what the Bible says. Whenever I start a Bible study with someone, and they kind of contradict what I believe, and we begin to talk, and I tell them, look, I'll be honest with you. If you show me with the Bible that the way I believe it's wrong, I will leave my church and I'll go to your church. But if I show you, then you need to understand that this is the Word of God. That this is God speaking to you through His Word. So you need to understand that. Because we believe what the Bible teaches. We teach what God has written in this book. Because if we don't do that, then we are accountable to God for that. So we need to understand that we as a church need to believe in something. And what we believe in is what's written in the Word of God. And third, we got to make sure that we try to save as many souls as we can. As a church. So we need to have a vision on how we're going to continue to worship God, on how we're going to edify the church, and how we're going to save those souls. I want you to open your Bibles with me to Jeremiah chapter 10. Let us read verse 1 through verse 7. And this is what the prophet Jeremiah says, beginning with verse 1 in chapter 10. Hear the word which the Lord speaks to you, O house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, do not learn the way of the Gentiles. Do not be dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the Gentiles are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are futile. For one cuts a tree from the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with an axe. They decorate it with silver and gold. They fasten it with nails and hammers so that it will not topple. They are upright, like a palm tree. And they cannot speak. They must be carried because they cannot go by themselves. Do not be afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, nor can they do any good. Inasmuch as there is none like you, O Lord, you are great, and your name is great in might. Who would not fear you, O King of the nations? For this is your rightful due, for among all wise men of the nations and in all their kingdoms, there is none like you. I believe that humans were created to worship. I don't know if you noticed, but you look in this world and someone is worshiping someone or something because they look at it as something higher than them. Here it talks about these people that would go out to the woods and cut a tree, decorate it, and they would worship it. But yet the tree couldn't speak, the tree couldn't even walk, and they were there worshiping it. And the prophet Jeremiah tells the people of Israel, you don't do that. You worship the Almighty God. You don't go around cutting trees or making figures or putting an idol in front of you and start worshiping it, because you believe in the true God. And he is telling them, you need to worship the one true God. And this is the one who we should be worshiping. And this is the one who we do worship. We worship the Almighty God. When I was a young boy, I worshiped my father. He was an athlete. I wanted to be an athlete. He was a musician. I wanted to be a musician. I wanted to be just like my father. And in this sense, I'm not saying that it's bad, because as a young child, most children want to be like their parents. But when you look at what the world is doing these days, and they're worshiping athletes, and they're worshiping movie stars, and they're worshiping musicians, I mean, they go crazy over these people. They pretty much go to the extreme to meet these people. And you look at them and it's like, and what about God? And where is God in your life? See, to us, God is everything. To the world, perhaps to most of them, God is nothing. And this is why, as a church, people need to know, in this building, in our building in Hayward, we worship God. And let it be known that here, we worship the Almighty God. Here we praise and we sing to our great Father that is in heaven, and we honor and worship His Son, Jesus Christ, because He has raised Him to the Most Highest so that all of us can worship Him, because He is worthy to be worshipped. So that's true. We worship God. We worship Jesus. You know, it's interesting because in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. And in Genesis chapter 2, it says that after God finished everything, He set one day apart for rest. And it says that He sanctified the seventh day. He blessed the seventh day. And you know, there was no Israel there. There was no Hebrew people. It was Adam and it was Eve. And yet it says that God did this since the beginning. And I believe that because of that, this is why we're here today. We're here worshiping God, praising God, because He has set one day from the other six to give us the time, to give us the opportunity to go to church and listen to His word and pray for each other and sing together. So thank God that He set one day aside so that we can come and praise Him, so that we can come and worship Him. And thank God that you have a church here, and thank God that we have a church in Hayward where we can invite people and tell them, hey, today, this special day, we go to church. You want to come with me? You want to go praise God with me? Because in my church, we worship God. About 4 months ago, there's a co-worker of mine who has diabetes, and he cut himself. And I kept telling him, Ralph, go to the doctor. Ralph, go to the doctor. And he didn't. It ends up being that he got infected. They cut his leg off. And 3 of us at work decided we're going to help him. We're going to be there for him. So we started taking turns. We started going to the hospital. He got out of the hospital. We started going to his house. And so I told him, Ralph, you need to go with me to church to thank God, because we've been praying for you. And you told me yourself that the doctor told you that you should be dead. So God heard our prayers and you're alive. You need to get up and you need to go with me to church, because there we worship God. And there we pray for each other and we can thank God for what he's done for you. He goes, okay, I'm going to go with you. So I went to pick him up. My wife and I, we took him to church. He's been going ever since. He's been listening to the word. He's been worshiping God with us. Last week in Sabbath school, and not the lesson before this one, he asked, what do I have to do to repent? So the Holy Spirit is working in him. And I pray to God that he continues strong. But you see, it works. When you invite people to church and you tell them, let's go praise God, let's go worship God, let's go thank God. One of the sisters will say, we can't scare people to do it, so we don't want to tell them, hey, you need to go to church, or you have to go to church. We don't want to do that. We want to share with them what we do at church. It's beautiful what we do at church. I enjoy church. I like going to church to sing to God. I like going to church to listen to the message. And yes, sometimes we're at fault. The messages are boring. But at least you get to read the Bible. Think of it that way. The message perhaps wasn't as good, but at least I read the Bible. But what's also wonderful is when we pray for each other. When we got here this morning, the brothers were praying. We were praying together, praying for each other. That's great. This is how we worship God. Prayer is a part of worship. Singing, praising is a part of worship. Studying the Bible and learning how to serve God throughout the whole week, that is a part of worship. Worship includes all these things. And our churches have to make sure everybody knows we worship God here. Open your Bibles now with me to Ephesians chapter 4. We'll be reading verse 11 through verse 16 of Ephesians chapter 4. It says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man. In other words, a complete person, a complete woman, a complete man, a spiritual man, a spiritual woman, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. This is how much we have to grow. And then it says in verse 14, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love. This is how you speak the truth, with love. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. We as a church have to become stronger. We as a church need to grow spiritually. There's so much time, there's so much potential for us being filled with the Holy Spirit, that we can grow and grow and grow and become a strong church. And I'm talking as a group. There will be times where people will come and try to deceive us. There will be times when people will try to deceive you personally and you will have doubt. There will be times when your trials are so hard that you start doubting your faith. There will be times when you want to give up in this race, in this walk with Christ. So this is why as a church, we need to be strong. Because when I go through these trials, or when I'm weak, you need to help me. You need to be there for me, so I don't go back to the world. Or when you are going through some trials, or when you have problems, I need to be there for you. We need to be there for each other. But if we're all weak, guess who wins? The thief who kills. It is his job, it is his desire, and I'm talking about the devil, for us not to worship God. It is his desire for us to be weak so that he can send a wolf dressed in a lamb and destroy this church. Remember, these are Jesus' words. The thief only comes to destroy and kill. The devil is alive. The devil is real. And the devil wants to destroy our churches. So we need to be edified. We need to edify ourselves. We need to be stronger in our faith, in our doctrine, in what we believe in. We need to be united. We need to be together in unity to make each other strong. Or when one is weak, the stronger one helps him. And when those who are strong get weak, the other strong ones help him. And this is so important for our churches these days. Because people have come to me and says, well, there's so many churches out there. How do I know which is the true church? And I always have to tell them, the one that teaches with the Bible will be the true church. And in Revelation chapter 12, it gives you two characteristics of the true church. They have to have the faith in Jesus Christ. And they have to keep the commandments of God. There, when the woman is trying to be destroyed by the devil, the woman representing the church, and the devil is furious because Jesus had just overcome and gone to heaven, and he goes after the church. And it says, and the seed of this woman, the true church, are those who have faith in Jesus Christ. We believe that we're saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. We believe that it's grace, the grace of God that has saved us through his son Jesus Christ. But we also believe that the Ten Commandments are God's moral laws for our lives. So we teach them and we keep them because we are saved, not because we want to be saved. So this is how we become edified. When your faith in Christ grows every day, and when you study the Word of God and you learn more about what he wants us to do, how he wants us to live, how he wants us to share the gospel with others, and we do it, and you become stronger and stronger every day. Don't ever think that you're strong enough, because the devil is stronger. Don't ever think you know enough, because the devil knows more. Don't ever think you know it all, because we don't. There's so much to learn from this book. We need to spend time as a church studying it, reading it, understanding it. And we know what the Holy Spirit did at the day of Pentecost. So we know what it can do in our lives. It can do great things if we put time and effort to study it and apply it to our lives. You can read it all you want. But if you don't study it, if you don't meditate in it, if you don't apply it to your life, it doesn't make us stronger. You know, when we were little, being raised in this church, we used to have Bible races, and we used to have Bible questions, and I remember always trying to win these Bible questions and be the fastest person to open the Bible, and I thought I was pretty smart. But as I grew, I don't really know anything. It'd be like my son, they asked him, what do you think about this? He goes, well, it's in the Bible somewhere. He knew it was in the Bible, he didn't know where. But it does say in the Bible, but where? So a lot of times we think we know, but we don't know. And as a church, we think we're a strong church, but we have to be careful. We have to make sure we're a strong church. God has blessed us with these churches. We have to do what God wants us to do. And He wants us to become a strong spiritual church as a group. What we want is to have more spiritual people than the people that are not spiritual. Because when the new ones come in, they're not going to be as spiritual as we are. And we got to help them become spiritual. Or when someone is going through some rough times, we have to be so spiritual that we can help them. Not only pray for them, but help them. This is what God wants. And the devil wants the opposite. He wants to go into our churches and destroy them. We need to remember that. Let's go on to the next verse in Matthew chapter 25. Verse 14 to verse 30. And this is the parable of the talents. Notice what Jesus is teaching us here. For the kingdom of heaven being the church or being God's kingdom here on earth, that's who we are. We belong to God's kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To each according to his own ability. Notice what Jesus does in this story. A parable is a story made up by Jesus with a teaching. And he understands the ability of these servants in the parable, right? Because he gives to one 5, and then 2, and then 1. And then he says in verse 16, then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug it in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also who had received 2 came and said, Lord, you delivered me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. So the first 2 were given talents and they doubled it. And when the master came, he was very happy because they doubled it. In other words, they weren't lazy. They did something with what the Lord, their Lord, had given them. But then look at what happens to the last one. The one who received the less. You would say, the one that had the easiest task. And then he goes on to say in verse 24, then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid. And I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there before you, or there you have what is yours. But the Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown, and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have this deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. As a church, I want to speak as a church. We cannot be a lazy church. The church in Hayward has to be active. The community needs the church. The church in Visalia has to be active. The community in Visalia needs the church. We have a purpose, and that purpose is to save that community, save those souls who are lost. Help people get to know who Christ really is. Help people understand what Christ has done for us. What God has done for us. I mean, I think it's an amazing thing for those of us who have accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, and God has welcomed us to His church, welcomed us to His kingdom, welcomed us to His body, to the body of Christ, and we look back and see how we were before, and what God has done for us now. I think people want to know that. I think people need to understand what is it that God has done for us. And as a church, we need to do that also. God has given us a church. So the question is, what are we going to do with it? Are we going to be comfortable? Are we going to be satisfied? Or are we going to do something? Are we going to move? Are we going to make plans? Are we going to try to help people understand, hey, here's the gospel. Here's the good news of salvation. It's a responsibility to have a church. It's a responsibility to be the church. You know, this is a beautiful building. We have a beautiful building. But it's a building. We are the church. You are the church. I am the church. And when we get together, when we congregate, we become the church. And this is what we need to think about. What are we going to do together? Because together we make strength. Individually, we have our own responsibilities. But God, we need to do that work. God has given us 5, 2, 1 talent. We need to do something with it. But as a group, as a church, I never forget those words from this. John Joseph is his name. And he continues to visit us. Pastor, you need to do God's will, or He might give it to somebody else, because that's what He did to the other church. So I'm speaking to you as brothers and sisters, as my church, our church. We have to save those souls. We have to feel that responsibility that every time we save someone, one less person is going to be destroyed. We have to try to protect them from the thief who is trying to kill them. And believe me, when you try to bring somebody to Christ, the devil is always there, trying to deceive them, trying to discourage them, trying to put in their mind that church is not worth it, because they look at it as church instead of a personal experience with God. Because I see it as an experience with God. When I came here this morning, I expected to have an experience with God, and that's what I'm having. That's exactly what I'm having. And I want all other people to know that. And we as a church, we want them to know that too. So the three things that we need to do as a church, we need to continue to praise and worship God. We need to continue to become stronger as a church, edify ourselves, and we need to spread the gospel. Because the devil, on the other hand, those are the three things he's trying to discourage churches from doing. We saw what the people did in the time of Israel. You think they listened to the prophet Jeremiah? At times they would. But at times they would rebel. They wanted to be like the other people. That was their first problem, when they wanted to be just like the other people, and they wanted their own king. And God's like, wait a minute, you have me. I'm your king. Why would you want to have a king like these nations over here? Oh no, we want what they want. So he gives it to them. And then they rebel. And they go away from God. And God, he backs off, and they get punished. See, what we want is to become stronger and save more souls and bring them here so we can all get together and worship the true God. May God bless you this morning.